When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
"This is ludicrous."
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper, Ludacris.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
With every monthly bill, like rent and car payments, you know exactly what you're getting when you pay for it. But health insurance plans feel like the total opposite. They're confusing and expensive. Then when you actually have to use your benefits, there are deductibles, claims, processes, and other red tape to deal with. But CrowdHealth puts you back in control of your healthcare. CrowdHealth is simple, transparent, and affordable. As a member, you'll get a personal care advocate who is with you every step of the way to help navigate the complexities of health events. They'll even negotiate bills on your behalf and could save you thousands of dollars in the process. Plus, you'll get access to thousands of other members who are ready to help pay for large health expenses. Experience healthcare freedom with CrowdHealth. Visit joincrowdhealth.com and use code HEALTH to get your first 3 months for just $99 per month. That's joincrowdhealth.com, code HEALTH. CrowdHealth is not health insurance. It's a totally different way of paying for healthcare. Terms and conditions may apply.
There's no purpose in teaching anybody who don't really want to learn, who really don't want to get to it. Everybody want to play entrepreneur. They don't want the sacrifice that come with this shit.
Truly. Late nights, early mornings.
You're going to lose friends, lose girlfriends, family going to call you crazy, not going to believe in you, then you make it, and then everybody going to be like, I'm proud of you, let me get some money.
What I've realized that wealthy people understand, and people in general, is the small concepts that you can apply to get wealthy. You don't got to be super smart and got to know all the intricacies of real estate or taxes or e-commerce or whatever, trucking, whatever it is.
It's good if you want to be rich in that business, but you don't need to know that.
You don't need to know everything. You just need to know small, basic concepts. Mm-hmm. And one of the smallest basic concepts that anybody can understand is get money by income. Get money, buy more money.
I woke up feeling wealthy today. My bank account might not agree, but hey, that shit on the way. Me and my niggas laying brick on top of brick till we straight. If you the type that play the victim, you can't come in my space. You know this game ain't for the weak, it's hard to carry this weight. I keep my balance through the ups and downs, I'm never gonna break. You feel the purpose in my spirit when you look in my face. Cause this ain't a second, I can waste something food on place.
Welcome back, everybody, to your favorite show, the Black Wealth Renaissance Podcast. I'm your humble and gracious host, David Bellard, your brother on your wealth building journey. I'm here with my brother from another, my man, Jalen Clark. How you doing, dog?
Man, I'm doing good, dog. I cannot complain.
You went for the handshake. I gave you the dab.
Yeah, you did, but I wasn't going to talk about it. The audience was going to see it, but it is what it is, man. I'm doing great here with another episode, man. I'm really just blessed. Humbled, happy to be here, honestly.
Definitely, man. I feel you. Like I said, I don't look like what I've been through today, man. Today has been a challenge to get to the studio, but we here. And we ready to give y'all what y'all came for, man. Because, look, we got to keep pushing this message. This is super important that we learn money so that we can change the narrative and the story of wealth for our family. Yeah. And with the couple that we got on today, y'all, they are like the embodiment of that. When I tell you, like, probably some of my favorite people out here in the DFW, just like their story is empowering. Y'all have heard them and seen them on our podcast before, and you've seen them on social media. But before we get into it, I got to ask y'all to make sure that you like, subscribe, rate, comment, leave that 5-star rating and review for your boys. And at the time this happened, will Black Men Summit have happened already?
It's going to be going into the week of Black Men Summit.
Okay, so if you haven't already, get your tickets to the Black Men Summit. Ariane, if you can, just throw that on the screen here, that blackmensummit.com. We hosting Black Men Summit in Dallas, Texas on October 22nd. It is going to be an event for black men by black men. The Dad Gang, Black Wealth Renaissance, The Black Man Can, and Black Menswear. We are partnering up to host a one-of-a-kind three-day event out here in Dallas. Yeah. For black men, definitely highly encourage you to be there. If you cannot come out in person, we do have in-person and live stream tickets available. So, again, y'all go to blackmensummit.com, and we love to see you there.
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, back to it, y'all. As I was stating a little bit earlier, before we had, you know, gotta self-plug, pay some bills, you know what I'm saying? Get y'all in the building. But again, this couple is some of my favorite people out here. They're originally from New York. Mm-hmm. You were first introduced to them on our platform from that story of them paying off, I think it was like $120,000 of debt in 14 months. And taking that now from where they've been from paying off this debt to where they are now is amazing. They've paid off all this debt, and now they've built a $1 million cleaning business, and now they're currently traveling the world. And if y'all can hear in the background, they got a beautiful little baby, everybody's favorite
got
rich
the
niece.
First baby on the pod, y'all.
The everybody's favorite rich niece, Queen Alani. But we have none other than Anthony and Janoka Hartzog. How are y'all doing? AKA the Hartrimony.
We are doing good. I was gonna ask, have we officially been on the podcast?
Yeah.
When?
It was virtual then.
Yeah, it was virtual. It was like,
oh, that was 2 years.
Yeah, 2 years ago. No, it was 2 years ago.
It was like 2 years ago. Okay. Y'all were,
I was trying to make
we
sure.
We did it on Zoom. I think it was in 2020.
We probably still lived in Louisiana
then.
Yeah,
we did.
Oh, okay. It was a while. Okay. Wow. Feels like a long time ago. 2020 is not that long ago, but yeah.
It does. A lot has happened since 2020.
Yeah, that's true. Yes. Thank you guys for having us. Yeah, that was a good time, man. And thank you guys for bringing us back on, man, and just continuing to share great stories.
No problem. Thank y'all for making the accommodations for us, getting back and everything today. We really appreciate that as well.
No doubt.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know y'all just had something occur with the family, so definitely appreciate y'all coming back. And again, it's always great to speak with you all. It's been a long time. It's definitely been too long since y'all been on the platform, so I would love for y'all to give a reintroduction to yourselves to our
who
audience.
We are okay.
yes
I go. So I'm Janoka. This is Anthony. We are from Brooklyn, New York. We live in Dallas, Texas. We did pay off $114,000 of debt in 23 months by side hustling and raising our income. And during that time, we started a cleaning business down here in Dallas, Texas, without cleaning any homes. And we teach people how to do the same. Once again, we have a cleaning business and we do not clean any homes. And that's kind of a quick recap of who we are.
And we've also had a daughter since then, as you guys may be hearing in the background. Alani, she's been amazing. She's changed our life. And our goal is to continue sharing the stories of, you know, what we're doing, you know, how we can help other people and create more impact.
Mm-hmm.
What's up? So, got to talk about the cleaning business, right? As Janoka just mentioned, you guys own a $1 million cleaning business now. Yes. Congratulations on that. I think we first met y'all, it was... Yeah,
we got no, it wasn't that. It wasn't that.
It was not that, but y'all have never cleaned a house.
Mm-hmm.
But y'all have found a way to make $1 million in this cleaning industry.
Mm-hmm.
Can y'all talk about what even brought y'all to this industry? Because, like, I think... Too often we look at all these industries. You know, online money is sexy. Jalen got a shirt on that say online money.
I need that.
We go online, we sell digital products, all these different things. But cleaning business has been around for a long time, and it's not going nowhere. Yeah. I looked into it. It's a $74 billion.
I'm about to say it's a $1 billion industry.
It's a 74. Like when you think about it, I mean, this is needs based.
Yeah.
As long as people enter buildings, they're gonna need to be clean because people are dirty. I mean, let's just call it what it is. Like, so how did y'all? What brought y'all to that industry in the first place?
Podcasting. Yeah. But go ahead. A podcast, really.
So I also want to clarify, too, because you got the online money shirt. This is an online-based business.
Yeah.
So you ever heard of drop shipping where there is a person who needs a product, there's a person who supplies a product, and all they do is just match the people? Mm-hmm. That's exactly what we do with our cleaning business. It's just like Uber. There's a person who drives a car. There's a person who has a platform. It's a person who needs that service.
The platform is the online business.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's exactly what we do. We're an online business. And I was just listening to a podcast about a kid who was actually cleaning houses
in college,
just trying to pay off his debt. And I reached out to him. This is 2017. And he was like, yo, just, you know, this is what I do. This is how I started it. And a little bit of game is Facebook. So I was just like, all right, go, thank you. And I took that information, started looking more into it. And I kind of got down a rabbit hole of like this drop shipping for cleaning businesses and local service based businesses. So not just cleaning businesses. This is handyman. This is lawn care. This was pet sitting. This was like everything that's a local service based business. I was like, there are people doing this service where, you know, like I said, there's a cleaner. There's a person who needs a home clean. There's a platform. And I just started digging into that. And I brought the idea to Janoka, and she was like, I ain't cleaning nobody's house.
Yeah. Immediately, no. But it's a good thing to note that this was our first business ever. So we had never even discussed having a business, what a business would look like, anything like that. So it was kind of like, what? Why would we do that? Why are we starting a business? What's the reason? So many questions attached to why I said no.
And remember, our goal was just to pay off that debt. So I was like, if we could just get a few contracts and just help us pay off one bill here and there, that would get us a lot further along. Mm-hmm. So as we got more into this journey, and I was like, listen, all right. First time I brought it to her, it was just an idea. The second time I brought it to her, it was more like, all right, here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to get the platform up and running. And here's how we're going to create this business without actually cleaning. And she was like, all right, let's give it a shot. Yep. And that's what's kind of got things rolling for us.
We gave it a shot. We got it up and running in 1 month.
1 month?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we got it up and running in 1 month. And today we've over $1 million in sales.
And at the time that you guys started, you were still side hustling and working full-time jobs, correct?
Correct. And I still work a full-time job. He doesn't anymore. But yeah, we both had 9-to-5s. We both had jobs outside of our 9-to-5 and then this cleaning business.
Hey there. Ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah. Or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about? Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again, because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
Was another job technically
that, was dog
that we started
too, right?
Oh yeah, we could go. We were watching dogs on rover.com. We had our cars on turo.com back in the day. This is 2016 2017 before there was a course or an outline for this stuff. And
we were working at a gym at Equinox. I'm a mental health therapist, so I was working as a private therapist at an office. I was going in after work, so we were doing all the things because the goal was to pay off the debt.
Yeah.
So anything that we could do that still allowed flexibility, we were doing.
I kind of want to highlight that the fact that y'all weren't afraid to put in the work that was needed to obtain the dreams that y'all wanted. And I think, once again, we've stressed this on our platform with social media, we're sold this fantasy that, yo, I can just do this one thing with minimal amount of work and I can obtain what other people are doing. They might see y'all on these trips and everything like that now, but they didn't see the work that y'all had to do outside of doing a 9-to-5, walking dogs, going through the mental health, actually working at a gym. Like,
with every monthly bill, like rent and car payments, you know exactly what you're getting when you pay for it. But health insurance plans feel like the total opposite. They're confusing and expensive. Then when you actually have to use your benefits, there are deductibles, claims, processes, and other red tape to deal with. But CrowdHealth puts you back in control of your healthcare. CrowdHealth is simple, transparent, and affordable. As a member, you'll get a personal care advocate who is with you every step of the way to help navigate the complexities of health events. They'll even negotiate bills on your behalf and could save you thousands of dollars in the process. Plus, you'll get access to thousands of other members who are ready to help pay for large health expenses. Experience healthcare freedom with CrowdHealth. Visit joincrowdhealth.com and use code HEALTH to get your first 3 months for just $99 per month. That's joincrowdhealth.com, code HEALTH. CrowdHealth is not health insurance. It's a totally different way of paying for healthcare. Terms and conditions may apply.
That's the thing that a lot of people miss, is the actual work that is needed to obtain that freedom.
Yep.
So I really always appreciate y'all for highlighting that part, because we got away from that. And I think that the work is the most important part to understand that you need to put this in so you can obtain those long-term goals.
Bro, that's why we share that part of the story before we share like the money and things we've done since then. Because even when we do master classes, we like to show, here's a picture of us working at the gym. Here's when my car got wrecked on Turo. Here's when we was like, we were tired and we had five dogs in the house on the weekend. Like, who wants to have an apartment with five dogs in it? Yeah, like, nobody wants to do that.
And not when you're not a dog person. We're not dog people. We're not animal people at all.
New Yorkers are not dog people.
No.
New Yorkers are not dog.
We have a dog. We have a dog, but I like my dog. I'm not going to ever. It's like, you're not going to see me in the street. I'm not a kid person. Oh, let me see your dog. That's not me.
I'm not a kid person, but I like my kids.
I thought y'all like dog people.
Absolutely not.
New Yorkers are not dog people.
What made y'all get on Rover then?
It was just something he heard on the podcast. It was just like people are making money from.
Because when I was thinking about all these side hustles in 2017, there wasn't really many black people in like the debt-free community, at least that I was aware of. Mm-hmm. So the more I dove into it, I saw people like, all right, listen to this podcast. Here's what people are doing. And I was like, okay, what can we do with the resources we have today?
Yeah.
I was like, we got a dog. And I was like,
working from home.
She's working from home. I was like, would you mind just bringing one more dog in? And she's like, hell no. The next thing you know, it was like four dogs in the house.
Dog here. And then we started having regulars.
You gotta push it. So I was like, wait, one more dog won't hurt us. And our dog was really scared of other dogs at the time. So he brought more dogs so in.
Socializing for him.
And he was getting so, he became sociable. And next thing you know, we have four or five dogs on the weekend.
Because it was some of our regulars. So just today, we're like, sure, we'll take it. Because we know this one gets along with this one. So it became a thing.
It was like four or five dogs. And we just kept kind of pushing the envelopes. All right, we got, you know, her car in Toro. Let's put my car in Toro. And like I said, our goal was just to start paying off that debt. So the more little things that we were putting together, the less thing we had to, like, we still traveled a lot when we were trying to pay off this debt. So we didn't have to cut back our expenses too much. So all those side hustles allowed us to pay off our debt and continue to travel. Mm-hmm. And even with the cleaning business, we didn't have to take money out the cleaning business. So that thing was just like its own little machine working on its own. And we didn't have to take any money out of it. So next thing you know, when we look back, you know, 2 years in, we say, oh, we got a nice little checking account over here that we could take from. So everything that we did kind of compounded upon the next.
And I love that it took, like Jalen was saying, this stuff didn't happen overnight. It took 5 years for all this to get to the point that it is now. So with the cleaning business, I want to get back into it more. How do you start that? Like, how do you start your own cleaning business? Because, I mean, you mentioned Uber and these other different platforms where basically you're essentially just the online hub for this. So how do you start that?
Yeah. So the first thing you got to do is find out, depends on your market too. So if you are really trying to start this from ground zero, all you really need to do is just find one cleaner, because all the clients will come. That's the hardest part about this game is that we say finding the cleaners is the most challenging part, but finding one cleaner could change your life. We've been working with this one lady, Anita, and she's made our company over $300,000 at this point. And she's been with us for what, 2.5 years now?
Maybe no, longer. She's been with us probably long. Yeah, three and a half.
Is she like one of y'all first cleaners?
Yeah, she's one of the first few months, a year, at least before we hit a year, she's been with us.
So we say one cleaner could change your life. So you find that one cleaner that understands the business and wants to lock in with you. She's like, I'll put my clients aside and I'll start hiring if you guys give me more work. Because she was working with a big cleaning company out here in Dallas. So you find that one cleaner, and that's the hardest part about the game. So you find those cleaners on, we started with Facebook groups. So I was in a lot of like DFW jobs, DFW hiring, DFW labor, DFW wages, like all these Dallas-based groups. And I'm posting like 3 to 5 times. I don't do that anymore. But I was posting like 3 to 5 times a week, every single night, just the same job ad. Because it's a numbers game.
Did they kick you out of the groups? They was like, okay, dog, you posted too much.
Some of them was like, no advertising. But I was very mindful of the ones that were actively allowing you to advertise. So I'm doing that every single night. So Facebook groups, I'm on Nextdoor.com, which is a local platform. So I'm looking for people who say, hey, my cleaner needs more work. Those are the best people, because now they're a referral. And also the cleaner obviously needs more work. So I'm on Nextdoor.com. I'm on Facebook. We were on Craigslist. Believe it or not, people are still finding work on Craigslist. I'm posting that same job ad on, back then it was free, but I'm doing that 3 to 5 times a night. And my goal is just to get people to apply to this job posting. And then once you get them on the phone, that was
Explain it to them, what the process is, what it looks like, how they get a percentage, and how it would work. Because they're contractors. We only work with contractors. We don't have employees currently, or we never had employees. So they basically have freedom to do what they like, just do the job clean. And a lot of people like that. I just want to show up. It's kind of, you know, I just want to show up, do my job, and leave. Like me and my 9-to-5. I just want to show up. Mm-hmm. And that's it. I don't want to do the marketing. I don't want to do the customer service or anything. And that's why they continue to work with us, because of that.
So I got a question. What made you guys' company so appealing to Anita to say, you know what, I'm leaving these other people and I'm come work with y'all?
That's a good question. I think just, I say this all the time when I'm speaking to people and people laugh, and I'm like, you have to be nice to people. I mean, be respectful to people, seriously, because she and many of our contractors have said that they've worked with other companies, but the, you know, people treat them bad. Mm-hmm. Like they'll talk nasty to them or like curse at them like that. And we don't do that. We pay them a higher percentage. They get 60% of the job. We get 40% because they're doing the work. But think about it. They may do 2 jobs a day. We have 11 jobs going a day, right? So that 40% ends up adding up on our side. So they like that. They get paid really well. When you break it down hourly, it's usually no less than $39 an hour. Okay. With my masters, I don't be getting that. So let's be very clear. Yeah. They get paid really well. Getting paid well, just being personable and respectful to them, and just giving them enough work, I think has kept them around. And just being upfront. We're very vocal with them. This is what's going well. This was not going well. And back and forth. There's times when people had personal issues and asked, can I get a pay ahead of time? We would pay it. So things like that. Just, I think being a human being, if you will, helps them to stick around and stay with our company.
I think both of us have a managerial experience and working with people, and we'll see conversations between our students. Like, that's not how you talk to somebody, man.
Right, right.
But it's like, oh, well, you never had experience managing people, managing personalities, managing personnel. So that goes a long way in our business. Like, Janoke will hop on the phone and like, listen, and she'll be straightforward with you. Like, we're straight shooters. Like, listen, you know that, you know, you shouldn't have done that. Like, this is how we run our business. This is how you get paid. And I'm like, you know what? You know, I messed up. So being personable, it goes a long way in this business, in this industry.
I'm glad you highlighted that, too, because sometimes people think being personable is always being nice.
Oh, it's not.
It just means knowing how to handle people the appropriate way.
Exactly.
You can't be nice and deliver bad news all the time, right? Because if you're trying to be too nice, you might end up trying to sugarcoat it, and now you're hurting your business in the long run.
Yeah, it's a business. That's the thing. It's a business at the end of the day, so just like my manager, if they got something to say, they're going to say it. They're going to tell me. That doesn't mean they don't like me. It's just like, okay, this is a business here at work. This is impacting it, however. So it's the same concept.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
And I kind of want to ask, so since y'all have contractors, do y'all give them a SOP on how your guys' business should be ran?
So we give them SOPs on something. So we can't tell them how to clean. Mm-hmm. We can tell them what to clean. So we say, this is what we do in our business. Like, this is what the difference is between a deep cleaning and a standard cleaning. Like, and we had to learn that stuff. We just took that from our competitors. We said, all right, what are they doing in their business? What can we do in our business? It's not like we knew how to do this stuff.
Y'all never clean.
Never clean. So we didn't know what a deep cleaning was, what a standard cleaning was, post-construction, things like that. So we'll tell them, here's what we include in our deep cleaning. What do you include in yours? And if it matches in an interview, perfect. If it doesn't, we'll just say, hey, this is what we do. You could kind of do that as well. So we do give them the SOPs on things like that. But how to clean? No, we'll just tell them, this is what we do in our business. So like, we'll ask questions in the interview that kind of lets them know how we run our business. So we'll say things like, all right, if you get to a door and there's no key, what do you do? If the first thing you do is say, call us, like, we can't work with you because you're not even thinking outside the box.
We need you to be independent.
So let me give you guys an example. If I ask you, if you got to a client's home and they said they were going to leave the key and there's no key, what would you do?
I'm calling the client.
Okay, yep.
I'll probably look under a rock.
Those are the two. That's what we want to hear. You guys are hired. And the first thing you say is,
you
call
gotta be
us.
Independent. You gotta be independent.
You gotta be able to think on your feet in this business.
So maybe it's in the mailbox, maybe it's somewhere else, you know?
Yeah, this is even the key. There's a rug right here. Let's check under the rug. I'm calling the client. So those are the things we want to hear. So that's the questions we ask on an interview to find out if you are an independent thinker, or do you need us to hold your hand? Because if you need us to hold your hand, we can't work with you, or we need to pay you less. So
got you. So it's like, you guys aren't providing them directions. You're giving them standards.
Yes. Yes.
Got you. Got you. And Janoka, you mentioned something that I wanted to highlight with the business model, right? Y'all giving them 60% and y'all keeping 40%. Mm-hmm. Because y'all not doing the work. This is a super scalable model, right? Mm-hmm. What they're doing is not scalable in a sense, right? Unless you get mm-hmm. employees. But you only can work so many hours. That's but with you thing. Guys, you can work. You don't have to.
You don't have to have 20, 30 cleaners in a day.
And right. y'all not doing the cleaning. So I right. got to ask, like, how are you getting people through the door? I know Anthony mentioned the jobs will come, but how are you getting people through the door?
The clients?
Yes.
Oh, the clients are coming in because we market online. So the main, where do you go when you want to look up something?
Google.
With every monthly bill, like rent and car payments, you know exactly what you're getting when you pay for it. But health insurance plans feel like the total opposite. They're confusing and expensive. Then when you actually have to use your benefits, there are deductibles, claims, processes, and other red tape to deal with. But CrowdHealth puts you back in control of your healthcare. CrowdHealth is simple, transparent, and affordable. As a member, you'll get a personal care advocate who is with you every step of the way to help navigate the complexities of health events. They'll even negotiate bills on your behalf and could save you thousands of dollars in the process. Plus, you'll get access to thousands of other members who are ready to help pay for large health expenses. Experience healthcare freedom with CrowdHealth. Visit joincrowdhealth.com and use code HEALTH to get your first 3 months for just $99 per month. That's joincrowdhealth.com, code HEALTH. CrowdHealth is not health insurance. It's a totally different way of paying for healthcare. Terms and conditions may apply.
Google. So we market on Google. What else do people look? Generally.
Probably like, Yelp.
Yep. Yeah. Those are our top two.
You guys are hired, man. Let's go. They already got the model.
Those are our top two places that we market. Google, Yelp, but you can market Thumbtack, Angie's, it's all these places. And so building the social proof is the biggest thing. So when you're going to hire someone, you probably look to see their reviews, right? And so we're very specific on making sure we have reviews up there, pictures, things like that. And that's how we find the clients. Literally marketing ourselves, you have to put marketing dollars behind it, but what company doesn't? You know, I have Target and Macy's that email me every day, 3 times a day. That's how they market. And there's commercials that I see every day. Hello. Mm-hmm. So Victoria's Secret, every single day. So we have to put marketing dollars behind that to, you know, be at the top and things like that. And people leave us reviews and they go on and read it and say, okay, I like what I hear. I like what I see. And then they'll book us online. So that's how we get our clients.
A potential student had asked us, is it, how do I know you guys have a real business and you guys say what you're going to do? So we obviously post the numbers and stuff like that, but we don't post our business itself anymore because we don't, that's not how we get clients. Like Instagram is not how we get clients for our business. So we don't even mm-hmm. talk about the actual name of the business. But if you look, you could find it. And she's like, wow, you guys are rated one of the top businesses in Dallas. And it's like, yeah, because we are very intentional about that social proof. A lot of the mom and pop shops, like we said, our contractors, they do the job and they leave. They're not thinking about getting reviews mm-hmm. on Yelp or Google.
They're not asking for that.
So mm-hmm. after every cleaning, you're getting at least 3 messages. If the cleaning went well, you're getting at least 3 messages. Hey, how do we do? Would you mind leaving us a review, rating on Yelp or Google? And that's, we try to get at least 5 reviews every single week.
So when business. You say messages, Anthony, I want to get a little grainy. Are we yep. talking emails and text?
Oh, you're getting everything.
Both.
Right after cleaning is done, you're getting, that's another thing too, customer service is key. So after every single cleaning, you are getting a phone call from our operations manager okay. or our customer service VA that mm-hmm. says, hey, we just know that the cleaner left your home was to make sure everything was satisfactory because number one, if it wasn't, you want to get on it. You want to be on their ass right after that. Mm-hmm. You want to be like, all right, how mm-hmm. can we make sure we rectify this before
they write a review?
You write a review, a negative review. So it works both ways. So right after yeah. the cleaning, they get a call. If they don't answer the phone, we're sending them a text message too to try to find out how that cleaning was.
Yeah.
Let's say worst case scenario, it didn't go well. We talk to the client, we find out what happened to the cleaner, and our goal is to get out there and rectify the cleaning that was done. And most of the time, our cleaners are okay with that because they've been mm-hmm. in the industry. And if it did go well, hey, we're happy that things went well. Would you mind leaving us a review? Most of the time, they say yes. They go about their day, they forget. So if we do that at least 2 to 3 times, they'll be like, all right, I got you guys. I'm going to go on Yelp or Google and write you guys mm-hmm. this review.
Yeah.
So, like, I kind of want to go back to the origin. You mm-hmm. stated, you know, you spoke to the guy in college.
Yeah.
What was after that? Because there was no courses on this, anything. Mm-hmm. Did you think about joining one of those like franchise type cleaner things? Or was it always just, you know,
what is it, Janet King?
That's so funny. Everybody mentioned, is that the only franchise King?
That's the only one that I know of.
That's what a lot of people mentioned. That's not a bad thing. That's good for them because maybe they need competition.
Some of our coaches like, you guys need to compete with them. No, who's like, we didn't even think about that.
People always mention Janet King. But I didn't even know what that was back then.
I had no idea that there was a franchise that did that. So
yeah.
I was just joining a bunch of Reddit groups and I saw like people starting local service based businesses and I just started picking up information. And that's really what it was.
Mm-hmm. So taking that and, you know, being this was your first business, what was like some of the hardest things for y'all whenever y'all were getting started to actually get it up off the ground?
I think the hardest thing was the money that went into it because you're not seeing the return right away, at least for me. I think he was just like, well, no, we got to put it in and then we'll see the return. And I'm like, okay.
Especially since y'all trying to pay off debt.
We're trying to pay off debt. And it's like, no, we got to throw $500 on Thumbtack, which is another place where you can market at. And I'm like, what? That don't make no sense. You ain't getting no leads. Nobody answered for a week, you know. So the marketing, I think, was the biggest challenge for me. And now we say marketing is an investment, not an expense. Right, because it's necessary. It at least for the online, the way that we run it, it's necessary. We're not walking into anybody's churches or supermarkets handing out flyers. So there's no other place somebody's gonna find us unless we market online. So that was a big challenge for us, the marketing part of it.
And I would say treating it like a business.
Yeah,
treating it like a business. When we first started, it was really just a side hustle for us. And as we grew and scaled, we realized, all right, this is actually turning into something that. You start feeling like it's a business. You start feeling like, all right, this is going to be my nest egg down the line. This is going to be my freedom fund. This is going to be my FU money, whatever you want to call it. So I would say treating it like a business, which is why we tell people when you first go in, just think about this long term. Don't think about this for next year. Think about 3 to 5 years because you'll be further than us in 3 to 5. You guys already know we got students who are killing it. Yeah. And it's like, you'll be
personally.
Yeah. You know, you'll be further than us in 2 years. Just treat this as a business versus a side hustle, especially when you start.
Yeah, because if you think about it, nobody teaches you how to be a business person.
A business owner?
Like, there's, I don't know. Maybe there's a
business school. Don't teach you how to be a business
owner. No, not. Maybe
that's
a course.
Maybe something you got to learn.
Maybe it's something you got to learn. But I'm just saying, nobody teaches you that. So who teaches you to change your mindset unless you're around that, right? Mm-hmm. You have no idea. You're just like, all right, I'm starting this. So that is also part of it, like changing your mindset, I think, was a challenge.
Yeah. I'm glad you touched on that. So, like, whenever y'all started changing this, the mindset of it being a side hustle to being a business, did y'all start changing some of y'all circle? Did y'all start hanging out with different people? Or was it like you spending more time in online forums with people in the cleaning industry, anything like that?
Yeah, I would say it was a mixture of both, like online and in person. So I would probably say 2019 is when we started really taking it seriously.
Because we paid off our debt December 2018.
So we paid off our debt. We got more money. It's like, all right, we got this extra money. We got this business that's starting to grow. How can we reinvest the funds back into the business? So I think getting around like-minded individuals was huge for us. Well, at least for me. She was like, go do whatever you want to do. But
yeah, I just hang out.
So it was like getting around people who own businesses, who are doing not even just the cleaning business, because you can learn so much from them. But how to change your mindset as an entrepreneur was huge for us. And that happened around like 2019, 2020.
When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
this is ludicrous.
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper, Ludicrous.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
So I kind of want to get into that investor mindset and stuff like that, right? So once y'all paid off the debt in 2018, was it, okay, we dropping all these other side hustles, or did y'all kind of keep some of those things going on to start investing?
We kept everything.
Really?
The only thing that he had stopped working at Equinox before then, and then we started paying his car in 2017, I think August, and paid it off July 2018. And once we paid it off, he was like, my car is off that platform. So 1 year it took us to pay it off, and then that was it. So those, that was done for him. But I didn't stop at Equinox. I actually became like, I was working at front desk. I became like a manager there at Equinox while having my 9-to-5. I didn't stop until like a week before the pandemic started.
Really?
Yeah, because we moved a little further away from the location I was working at, and it was just too far. And then a week later, the world shut down. So I was still doing Equinox. We were still doing dogs, but we were only taking our reoccurrings, the ones that came all the time. I was still working at the private practice. So we didn't stop anything, really, besides the things that we stopped even before we paid off the debt. So
so now, from that, y'all shifted into actually becoming investors. What does that look like for y'all actually starting to invest in the stocks? I think, did y'all buy y'all property 2019 or 2020?
2020. We're 2 years in. Yeah, so 2020 is when we bought that. We bought that about, I think, September of 2020.
So gotcha. What does that look like shifting into becoming investors for y'all?
Yeah, because we were using our time to create money, and that was the biggest shift, I think. I realized that shift early on. Like, you only got so much time. Mm-hmm. But if you use your money to create money or use your mind to create money, that's unlimited, essentially. So when she's going to the gym, I'm like, you're only making, what's it, 11 hours?
Eventually,
11 hours an hour. So we were making 9 hours an hour.
You a manager that gave you 11?
Mm-hmm.
This is the highest end gym in the world.
Yeah, it is.
No shade to them. They were really nice people, but this is the highest end gym in the world.
It's a Dallas thing. I know New York ain't paying no $9 an hour.
And I'm like, you're expenses to him. Too much.
Exactly, exactly.
So we're using our time to create $9 an hour. I'm like, if you sat down and did something at home, could you create that same $9 an hour?
Right.
So even the online therapy that she was doing, it was.
Okay.
Oh, it's okay, little mama. It's okay.
Yeah.
But I think it also was the free membership that I enjoyed, too.
We got free membership. So when we started creating more income with our minds than our actual time, that's when the true shift started happening. So when I got her to buy into an investment part, she's like, well, why would we only get $500 in cash flow a month where the cleaning business is bringing in way more than that? I was like, we're starting to diversify our income. Mm-hmm. And once I got that mindset shift for her, it was like, all right, well, how can we create more income? It's like, all right, we're going to create more income with digital products. And we started that in 2020, too.
Yep.
2020, we started creating digital products. That started bringing in more revenue. The cleaning business started investing in that more. That started bringing in more revenue. We bought another investment property. So that's when our mindset shift started happening around 2020, right before the world shut down, essentially.
And I kind of wanted to ask with the paying off of debt. I know we're talking about y'all transitioning into the investor side of things. Mm-hmm. When you paid off that debt, can we talk about like the impact on y'all personal finances of not having to pay amount of dollars toward debt and having this money freed up? What was that experience like for y'all?
I think he briefly said it, but we had all this extra money now, right? I say extra because it's the money that you work for. It's your money, right? Mm-hmm. But it feels extra because you were thrown into debt all this time. So now January comes around. We paid off in December, like for my 30th birthday. January comes around and we're like, well, what do we do with all this money?
Did you celebrate?
We celebrated in May. We went to Maldives and Dubai. We did celebrate. So eventually, like months later, but that was also our wedding anniversary too. But yeah, just figuring out what we do with this money was, and I say it like that because it feels weird to say, but eventually that's why, okay, we can put more into stock market, or let's put more towards the business. Let's do this, let's do that. So that's how we went about it. But we did have that conversation like, okay, we got this extra money now. What's next?
I'm going to give you the exact number. So we paid up $114,000 in 23 months. That is $4,900 a month thrown towards debt on average.
Are you serious?
$4,900 a month. Throwing towards debt.
Don't let that go over y'all heads. That's somebody's monthly salary.
So we're putting
More than my monthly salary.
We're putting this towards debt every single month. Some months, like I got a bonus at my job. My bonus is like $10,000, $15,000, and
we'll throw it
right
at
to debt. How many people would take that money? It's like, you know what? I'm gonna spend some. We took that whole check and just threw it towards debt. So some months was $15,000, some months was $10,000, and that was $4,900 a month. We just gave ourselves a $5,000 a month raise, $60,000 a year. By just paying off that debt. To that first month, you got extra $5,000, five racks. What are you going to do? Like, I'm going to turn up. But we said he's going to do a nice trip for our anniversary. And the rest of us are like, all right, let's continue to grow this money. Let's continue to grow this wealth. So that's what that looked like when we paid off the debt.
Mm-hmm.
Sheesh. Okay, before we get into our next question next segment, I do want to take a time to highlight our sponsor for today's episode.
If you're an accounting or finance professional, you're probably on the lookout for tools that won't just make your job easier, but will add value to your clients too. Today, we're highlighting one of those tools, JustWorks, a professional employer organization. Here's how they can help. With JustWorks, your clients get best-in-class payroll, HR tools, compliance support, and access to a rich suite of employee benefits all in one platform. JustWorks also provides 24/7 expert support that's available both to your clients and their employees. As a JustWorks partner, you get free third-party admin access to your client's dashboard and seamless integration with QuickBooks and Xero. You'll also get access to a partner relationship management tool for real-time updates and reporting on referrals. Plus, you'll get paid for referrals that become JustWorks customers, or forego the referral bonus and pass on the savings to your customers. Find out how JustWorks can help your clients by going to justworks.com/partners. That's justworks.com/partners for more info.
But no, man, that's major. Imagine a $60,000 a year raise just from paying off debts. That's crazy. So I want to talk to y'all more about the discipline it took for y'all to get there, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's, I think, something that many of us would, and I know Anthony, you said, man, we got extra five racks. We could turn it up. Like, what was it like as a couple sitting here and being like, you know what? We're not going to stop. We're going to keep going.
I think it was easy at that point. After we went through the process of the 23 months of paying off the debt, the discipline was there. It was like a no-brainer at that point. Like, we see the we saw the results, right? Mm-hmm. If we just stick with it and working together, what we can do. So why mess that up now? Sorry.
Are you good? Mm-hmm. So I kind of want to highlight that journey of the savings part, because I know we just got really deep into the cleaning. What did that look like? Like, what made y'all wise so strong that, you know, y'all said, we're going to commit for these 23 months. We're going to make sure that we do everything possible. We're going to work these extra jobs. What made that wise so strong that y'all had to get out of that debt?
I was just going to say it didn't start that way. We didn't start off saying, okay, we're going to pay off this $114 in 23 months. It was like, he brought the idea. I said, no. It's a song dance. I'm like, what's the reason we're paying off debt? We're paying our bills fine. There's no, you know, everything is going fine. Like, what is the, and at that time, to be honest, I've never heard of anybody paying off their debt. So it was kind of like, what's the reason? Why are we doing this? Why are we getting paid?
To be 100%, y'all are the first black couple that I was introduced to the concept of being debt free.
Right.
Like, seeing y'all's story was like the first time, like, you can do that, you know, like,
right. And it's like, duh, you can pay off debt, but nobody does it, right? Mm-hmm. And that was my thing. I'm like, no, nobody's paying off debt. We'll be fine. These loans will be fine. They can sit here. Like, me being a mental health therapist with Obama's plan, they'll get paid off in 10 years. There's no rush. Like, let's just do that. But then we eventually both got on board and we started paying. And I think 3 months in, we had paid off maybe about $12,000. Then we were like, can we pay this off by a certain time frame? And I just threw it out there. I was like, well, let's just do it by my 30th. Like, just, man, let's just,
like,
go for it.
I was like, it's a wrap.
And I'm like, and I remember I had spoke to one of my friends. She was like, wow, that's like, that's serious. I'm like, yeah, I don't know if we're going to do it, but let's just go for it. And that's kind of how it went. But originally it wasn't like this goal. It just was, we're going to pay it off. Right. But,
and then David, like you said, it was like, we were one of the first people that you saw. And it was like, we know we weren't the first people to do this, but it's like, if we could find and impact one more person that's like, yo, I never thought this was possible. And they started doing it. Mm-hmm. That's literally what it was at that point. It's like, how can we help and impact more people by sharing our journey through this debt freedom?
How many times you had to go to her to convince?
Probably a few. I don't know.
It was more like traveling. It's like, all right, let's slow down.
That was my biggest thing. Yeah.
It's like, we don't need to go to this event, because you get friends and family. You feel like you got to be there for everything. I was like, babe.
Yeah, we had just left New York too. And we go back home a lot. So that was another thing.
I was like, let's skip this trip. Let's skip this. And we wasn't skipping too much, but it was like, let's just get realigned.
One trip here, one trip there, you're saving like $1,000.
Right. It adds up.
Even if, like, when you go to New York, we're staying by mother, so you're not paying for that, but you got to pay for the flight. You got to pay for the Ubers.
You got to pay for food.
You know, food, because you're going out. Everybody want to see you. So it does add up. I would say that.
So it was like every couple months, just a realignment. And one of the important things is that we had a debt-free meeting every single Sunday. Like, we realigned our budget, we realigned our goals, and every single month, we did a meeting every single Sunday, and every month we had like a bigger meeting. It's like, all right, where's the debt? Where are we still on track? Are we still trying to meet this goal? So that alignment meeting was very important every single week and every single month.
So Anthony and Janika, one thing I love about you guys, like, y'all don't, like, I look at y'all in y'all relationship, we kind of just talking about it off camera, like, y'all didn't let other people kind of determine how things should go in your relationship. And I think that's really important when it comes to your family and your own situation. Y'all were married almost 6 years before having a kid. Can y'all kind of speak to that experience? Because, you know, everybody kind of tells you, you get married and then you're just supposed to have kids. Like,
it's probably a Southern thing.
Southern thing, yeah. Probably so.
And I'm kidding. But no, we got married and then we moved down here to Dallas. So we got married in May 2016, moved to Dallas June 2016. So that was already like, okay, we need to get acclimated as a couple in a new city and just even being married, right? And so I don't think there ever was a rush for either of us because we enjoyed and still enjoy life without a baby, okay? Life changes. So it was always like, oh, we think you're ready. Nah. Because we were, you know, we got to a point, we said when we pay off the debt, because we said we were going to do that when I turned 30, we're like, let's have a kid then. We're like, sure. Paid off the debt, we're like, I don't know if we're ready for that yet. Let's enjoy this a little bit because somebody going to take up all our money in one shot if we have a baby. So that's kind of how it's been. We've just been aligned with each other, just had conversations like, okay, we're ready now. Are we not? What is life? I don't think you're ever like fully prepared, if you will, but there's stages in your life where you feel more equipped than before. Mm-hmm. And so that's how it was with us.
Yeah. And I think another, like you mentioned, like not letting those external pressure you into doing something you're not ready for. So I moved down to Dallas. Like, oh, you got to get a house. Right. Like, why do we have to get a house? Because we moved down to Dallas. Like, no, we're going to live our life the way we're supposed to live it. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, oh, you moved to Dallas. You got to get a nice car. I did fall into that one. So it's like, you on the road a lot. You a director now. You make more money. Yeah. You can't. I was pulling up to my job as the highest paid person, but the oldest car, I guess. It's like, nah.
What you was pulling up in, man?
I had a Honda Accord. It was paid off.
You know what I'm saying?
It was paid off. It worked fine. That's one of my financial regrets is not keeping that car. But I fell into, I was just talking about not falling into peer pressure norms, but I fell into pressure norms of getting a new car. So I think not allowing those external pressures into our marriage and our business, our finances, and our life has kind of kept us grounded, essentially.
Because they ain't paying the bills in my house. And who's gonna take care of my child? You ask me for a baby, or are you gonna take care of
the baby? We tell parents, we tell godparents, we tell aunts, uncles, cousins, like, y'all ain't in the house.
They're
like, oh, when is number two coming? When is number two coming?
It's gonna be like, oh, when so cute.
And when is number two coming? Not right now, unless you putting in on this.
Right.
Unless y'all putting in on this.
Must be.
So, not allowing those pressures has been huge in our life, though, overall, too.
In general,
I actually remember my question from earlier.
Inside joke.
No, it was actually related to the meetings that y'all spoke about.
That's where I was going to go too. I do remember.
Those meetings play into what we just kind of spoke about.
Yes.
Right? The fact that you guys sat there every Sunday and like talked about where you were and put plan that out. Can we kind of talk about that just a little bit more? Like, the thought process behind that, even the strategy, like what y'all were doing.
Yeah. So it was, I mean, now we just call it family meetings since we still do it. Because before it was like budget meetings and stuff. But it was a way to check the temperature for all things. Because like I said, at the beginning, I wasn't really on board with paying off the debt. So it was just kind of checking in to make sure that maybe he wasn't being too pushy. We didn't feel like we were overspending, that we were like still, because we were doing all these other side hustles. Are we still spending time with each other as a married couple? How is work going? You know, all things is what it was. And so that's why we continue to do it to this day, because with life happening so quickly, baby, businesses, podcasts, all these other things, it's easy to forget about the core, right? The core of who we are and what we have going on together. So
do you guys know the number one reason for divorce?
I was going to say finances, but I'm wondering if it's anything else.
No, it's finances. It. So if we know what the problem is, why not focus on what the potential problem could be? If we talk about the problem every single week, every single month, and just make sure we're on top of it, it's less likely to happen.
Yeah.
Because what you focus on grows. So if we're focusing on our finances, how can we make sure we're aligned? Are you thinking, do you want to travel? Am I being too? Because one of our challenges too is like, Janoka's more of a spender, and I'm more of a saver, if you would just kind of use those terms. And it's like, all right, am I hoarding the money? Not in a negative way, but am I being too tight with the money? Or am I not giving you the freedom to do things that you want to do? So having these constant family meetings allow us to have those conversations all the time about it. So having that temperature check, like she said, was very important, and still doing it to this day. It's in a different form now. We don't do this structured and detailed, but we still have them.
Just to make sure that y'all on top of it.
Yeah.
I think that's huge. And one of the things Janoka said business is,
you
guys have purchased a VA business as well, right? Do y'all still have that?
We still have it.
Really?
Can we talk about that as well? Like, what did that look like acquiring another business?
Yeah. If you guys are interested in having a virtual assistant business, run your cleaning business, check out ZiggyVA.com. So we were using ZiggyVA.com for our cleaning business, and they literally ran our business for us. And the owners of the business, she does amazing. She works with like Rihanna and Oprah, like makeup and stuff like that.
She pivoted from cleaning business to the makeup industry.
She got really big.
Sephora, her thing is in Sephora.
She got really big. Her name is Christina, and she was in Houston. But she got really big, really fast. She's like, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm closing this down. It's not worth it. And I was like, yo, this is running our business. You can't close it down. She's like, well, what you want me to do? I was like, well, we can.
So he's like, you want to buy it. What do you think I said?
No.
And that was this was February 2021. We're in 2022. Yeah, February 2021. I'm like, not another headache. I cannot. We're dealing with, because we're still in the business with the cleaning business. We didn't have an operations manager or anything then.
But they were running a good 70% of our business. And I was like, well, if they close down, that's
me.
That's 70% of your business gone.
Right.
I mean, we got to start picking that back up again.
Yeah. He's like, so if we're paying a certain amount of money to them, we're going to save on that because we no longer have to, it's our business now, so we don't got to pay, right? And we could grow it. And it has grown. I won't lie. Like the first 3 months, 3 to 6 months, we were in the red. And then we started, we started changing things, pricing, structure, all things like that. And so it's been doing really well.
Yeah. So we started that business. Well, we didn't start it, but we acquired business. And that's just one of the businesses that they literally run our cleaning business for us. And now they run other cleaning businesses as well. So
it's all
ecosystem.
Yeah.
That's exactly what that is. Mm-hmm. And one of the biggest challenges was like, all right, this is going to be another business that's not going to make us any money right now. Mm-hmm. They were losing money. I was like, yo, how much? I was like, how much are they losing? And I think it was like $700 a month. I said, well, we're paying $700 a month. So if they were losing, we were paying, then we're not paying that expense anymore. So I was like, we don't have to make money from this business, just like everything else we started. So now a year in, we're starting to make money. And it was like, all right, well, we weren't losing no money. Now we're making money and it's running our business for us. So I'm thinking about other ways to kind of pivot this business into other streams as well.
Yeah.
But just takes focus.
Okay. So I kind of want to segue into the actual course and the community that you guys have created.
Yeah.
From being successful in your own business. Once again, as we spoke about earlier in the podcast, you know, there was no blueprint for what you guys are doing.
Mm-mm.
You guys then in turn created that blueprint. What does that look like? I've seen that y'all had amazing success. Y'all work with Donnie. Like, she's helped take y'all to the next level. Like, can y'all talk about some of that?
Yeah, yeah. So, cleaningbusinessuniversity.com. I said, if we have the testimonials from ourselves, people are asking questions, why don't we turn this into a digital business? Guess what she said?
No.
Ding, ding, ding.
I would like you guys to respond back.
So she, I need you to put it in the comments.
No.
So she said no.
But we were trying to figure out, I mean, that was, once again, I guess that's technically that was the year where I guess digital products boomed. There's always been digital products, but during the pandemic, that's when it boomed. But I'm like, who's going to want to buy from us? That was my thing. Like, nobody's going to want to listen to. I was like, I think people will more want to hear about the debt story, the paying off debt. Because the cleaning business is so specific, right? Mm-hmm. If you talk about, like, I can help you with marketing, I can help you with podcasting, that's such a broad thing that anybody can do. I'm like, I don't think many people's gonna wanna do the cleaning business. And we spoke to some people that they was like, well, that's a good thing. Like, when you niche down, that is a good thing. So we went on an IG Live, right? We didn't have a course or anything. We had a landing page. page on Gumroad, a picture, not even a landing page. And we said, if we get 10 people to buy, then we'll record this course. We didn't have it or anything. We went on, answered some questions at the end. We pitched it, if you will. We got like 12, 15 people to buy. I'm like, damn, we got to record it, huh? We got to record this thing because now we got people that put money down that's mm-hmm. ready. And we kind of just did like a pre-sale, essentially. Like, all right, this is a price before. Once we launch it, then it'll be this price. And that's how we started the Cleaning Business University.
Yeah, so we created a whole curriculum on the things that we wish we knew when we started.
Did you have it already ready, like whenever the live was up?
Yeah, while we was on the live, I created that landing page. I went to Canva, and it was like, I didn't want to overthink the process. Like, we already had it documented. Yeah, that's one of the things. So we already had our process documented, mm-hmm. how it took us 4 weeks to start our cleaning business. And we already had the process documented. I said, we outline this process and sell it. People will want the information. Mm-hmm. So we created an A to Z curriculum, how you can start and scale your cleaning business. Now we say to six figures, because that's where we were. Now it's seven figures, because that's where we are. And our students have done over $4 million in the cleaning industry. Without cleaning houses, this is 2 years. They've opened in 33 plus states.
35 plus states.
They've completed over 25,000 cleanings. And this mm-hmm. is just, we haven't gotten the stats for this year as of yet. This quarter, but that's where they are. And we got thousands of students at this point. Testimonials after testimonials mm-hmm. of how to start and scale a cleaning business without cleaning houses. And that's kind of cleaningbusinessuniversity.com.
Mm. Yep.
Man, that's amazing, though.
Yeah. That's pressure, man.
So,
over 35 states.
With that, you guys started during the pandemic, right? Mm-hmm. I remember, once again, we follow y'all, we talk to y'all, and I remember you're like, you know what, I think I want to take this to the next level, and I think that's whenever y'all started working with Donnie. Mm-hmm. I remember you tweeted something, you was like, you know, my coach told me charge this much, but I'm kind of apprehensive about mm-hmm. this. Can we speak about how having that coach help y'all take it to the next level?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we had two different mindsets. Number one, she didn't want to start it. And number two, I wanted to start it. Two different mindsets. She wanted to charge a certain price for the information. And I was nervous because the circles that I were in were doing low ticket items. So it was like, well, people aren't paying for high ticket items. But in actuality, the circle you I was in wasn't paying for those items. And once we got a coach that moved us from one circle to the next and showed us what people are paying. And even Danielle Leslie, we met with her, and she's done millions in the teaching industry on how to start and scale courses.
Yeah.
And we weren't in her circle. We wasn't in those circles until we got a business coach. She's like, here's what people are actually paying. Here's what people are doing. And that kind of moved us from the low ticket price point and to the high ticket price point. And what that allowed us to do was change our customer testimonials. It was less about, I can't log in, how do you start? It was more about, all right, I'm at the six figure phase, how can I grow to seven? It's more about, all right, I'm at high five figures, how do I grow and scale into the community? And the questions that were changed from that low ticket to the high ticket was what took us from a couple thousand to the $1 million mark in course sales and digital mm-hmm. products. So that was a huge shift for us.
Yeah, and I'm laughing because I said no to Donnie too. He was like, we should bring a coach in. And I'm like
10 for 10, man.
I always say that though. All of my businesses started because of you, and you don't be wrong. So I'm not saying you are, but I remember, yeah, he was like, I think we should get a coach. I'm like, where you found this person at? He was like, listening to a podcast. I'm telling you, I think it would be helpful. I'm like, okay. And it has been a game changer. We wouldn't have been where we are now if we didn't have a coach.
Some of the pivots that we made from by ourselves to working with her was just the price point was number one. Metrics was number two, because where we were on the old platform versus the new, now we're on Kajabi, that allowed us to see, all right, she's like, well, how much people are completing the course? What type of questions they're asking? Where are they commenting? And so I would say price point, metrics, advertising yourself. She's like, you got to change the way you guys market this. Like, you got to change the way you approach the conversations. You got to put this out there more. Because back then we were putting it out there a little bit, but now it's in our bio. Mm-hmm. It's like what we're known for. We were in the airport. This guy was like, yo, you're the cleaning business coaches, right? I was like, right. I guess so. So it changed our marketing, changed our advertising.
Now we got commercials, as my mother said, ads.
Yeah. I be seeing them.
Like, yeah, you don't see them.
Like, you always have
to. I guess ads could be commercials. I mean, yeah.
So it just changed everything about just what we were to where we are now.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
I think I wanted
to get into the switching from low ticket to high ticket, right? Okay. Because like, I think that's something that a lot of entrepreneurs struggle with. I know you mentioned yourself charging your worth. One of the big things that helped was moving your circle. Mm-hmm. But like, whenever I'm talking about like changing the people you're targeting, right? Mm-hmm. So What were some of the things that y'all did to change?
What's poppin', guys? It's Jay Jonah here from Blowin' Smoke. If you're a fan of fun, insightful, and breakthrough conversations, then be sure to check out and subscribe to The Blowin' Smoke Podcast, a show that covers life experiences and firsthand testimonies from some of your biggest names in your favorite industries. And it's all brought to you exclusively right here by The Revolt Podcast Network, anchored in hip-hop, powered by creators.
I guess your target audience over from that low ticket person to that high ticket audience.
So you had something going.
Before we begin, I'll let you go right now. But it wasn't even about changing the chart. The target was important because we're starting a business. This is not something that's like you do it. This is a business. Mm-hmm. It takes funds. So we said if we create a higher barrier of entry, these people should have some business funds ready to go to launch their business. You can't really start a business with no money. So we was like, we were getting people who, you know, let's say back then, I don't even say what the price was because it was just embarrassing, but those people just buy it.
Charging less than
$27.
But it was low. And
it was low.
It was people that were just buying it and just singling the information. Mm-hmm. But the people who were paying higher ticket prices, they had money in their pocket ready to start and launch a business. We have ran our business for 5 years. This is not something that we plan on getting rid of. So we want people who are ready to go into this thing long term and not just somebody who just buys just to buy. No, we want it to sting a little bit. We want it to hurt just a little bit so that you could think about it before you actually buy it, which is very important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to say it wasn't necessarily the change in audience, but I think that your energy behind the product, like, am I showing up as a $500 product or a $27 product? Like, how am I presenting as well? Even if you tell me my thing is worth that, I don't have to believe that. I can still show up in a certain way. So I think that was big, because when we were changing the pricing, I remember we got like one sale. He got nervous, and our coach was like, "But Anthony, how are you? Like, are you showing that nervousness when you're selling? Like, is that what's happening? Because it is. Like, you're still thinking that you should be this under $100, right? That's what you're believing. Mm-hmm. But you see the return, you see the testimonial, so we know that it's worth more than that. The ROI is what makes it worth more than that, right? Mm-hmm. If you're making $10,000 within a month and you're paying less than $100 for a product, that doesn't even make sense,
yeah.
Right? So that is, I think, the shift in mindset and then starting to believe and knowing your worth was what helped us, and me saying, like, no, we changing this price.
Yeah. And that was kind of the thing that I wanted to highlight, too, is once you guys did shift to that higher ticket, the investment part. Mm-hmm. I feel like more people who took the course, they actually look like, okay, if I just spent $500 on this, I need to complete this.
Yeah.
Because, like, yo, I put this money in. What do I have to do to get this money back to recoup
right,
it?
Exactly.
Right.
I'm a high ticket person all the way, because the problem is that if I buy something that's so low ticket, I won't believe that it works. Mm-hmm. And if I'm telling you that we've made $1 million in our cleaning business and our investment was less than $1,000, that sounds absolutely nuts. Yeah. Like, it sounds unbelievable.
It sounds like a scam.
And it sounds like, I was literally watching an info commercial last night, and this guy said, it was a church infomercial.
Oh, man.
I couldn't sleep. It was on a black network.
You need your personal pair package. You need to do a miracle.
It was a miracle water product. And he said, if I send you this free product, that it was
his energy.
It will save your finances. And he got, and I looked him up, and he's made $1 million with this product. And it was a scam, but his energy showing up was different. So people were believing it. And it's like, if I get you to believe that this product is worth it, no matter what it is, you're gonna pay. It was a free product. But my goal is to make that product sting a little bit, just so you have to think about the investment you're putting in. Mm-hmm. So that was like the goal with
it. Take it more seriously.
I bought very high end products, and I guarantee you I finished every single one of them. My highest course that I purchased was probably $3,000, and it's made us over $1 million at this point. And it wasn't because of the price point of that information. It was because I took it more seriously. Mm-hmm. I was like, I put $3,000 into this.
I'm gonna use this.
I'm leaving it with something. It's like, we didn't make that money immediately, but it was over the course of the years, and it's changed our mindset so much. Mm-hmm. So that was what the price point was about.
That's major gems right there. I ain't gonna lie. Like, that energy, I never really thought about that. You said something important, Janika. Like, how are you showing up?
Mm-hmm.
Because I never really thought about it. Like, you coming in trying to sell a $1,000 product, like, Yeah, man, it's $1,000.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you got all this energy whenever you talk about it.
Yeah.
It's $1,000.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're not. I'm going to say it with my chest, right? I'm going to say it with my chest. It's kind of like, I think about, like, dress for the job that you want. You know how people say that? Like, you know what
not
I mean?
Not the job you have.
Not the job you have. So even if, like, I'm just going to keep showing up, I'm going to keep bringing value and showing you. And like you said, I'm not going to be timid about it. This is the price. Like, the price is the price. And I'm not going to be for everybody, and that's okay. That's okay too. I think people have to understand that as well. You're not going to be for every customer.
And then we take that same.
There's Walmart customers, there's Target customers. That's okay.
We take that same mindset in our cleaning business too, because we know that we focus on higher ticket customers. We focus on high end customers. We focus on the customers that's not worried about a potential recession. They're like, yo, I need my house clean regardless.
Regardless of what you
I'm not going to be home. My goal is to save time. They're like, I don't care about a recession. I can't clean my house. I need somebody to do it. So those are the customers we focus on, because there's a needs based business. They're always going to need somebody. So that's the way you got to focus in and kind of shift your mindset too. Mm-hmm. We first started, we was like, all right, we want every customer. No, we know what clients we want. We know what customers we want. Mm-hmm. And we know how we could best serve those customers too. Because they're going to show up differently. They're going to leave their key. They're going to be like, yo, I'm going to pay the highest end. I'm going to show up whenever you need me. It's like, those are customers you really want.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you brought that back, because I did want to circle back to the customer point. You guys ever thought about doing commercial, or y'all strictly residential customers with your cleaning? What's your target audience with that?
We're strictly residential, but we're not against commercial. We just haven't done commercial. Mm-hmm. We've had our students that taken our course and went on to do commercial. So it's something that we discuss when we think about growing the company, just continue to grow. Commercial definitely would be something that we would do. We just haven't done it personally with our business.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My second question with that, with the growing part, you know, we talked about like the Ubers and stuff like that. Would y'all think about actually creating some type of platform just for cleaners where y'all can kind of become one of those companies like that?
Yeah.
That'll be hard.
Yeah.
We thought about it. Definitely had it. We're not discussions about
it. He came to you with the idea.
Yeah, but I was for it this time.
Yeah. I was like, nah, we can't do that. She with it.
You can't do that. They're like, this is too easy of a yes.
I'm like,
nope,
that means it ain't gonna work, bro.
Oh, God.
Like, it ain't gonna work.
That's hilarious. No, we have thought about it, but we haven't fully implemented or flushed it out of what that would look like. People paying to be on it.
There's so many different ideas.
The search engine optimization of doing it every state, what that price looks like, you know. So there's so many things. But yeah, we've had that discussion. Or, you know, should we franchise it? Because some people think when they take our course that they're like, we have part of the core of their company. And I'm like, shit, maybe we should. Maybe I should have 10% of what you bring in.
That's nothing our culture saying.
50% of what you bring in. I would be close to a billionaire by then if that was the case, right? So those type of things is kind of like, how do we continue to expand and grow? It's discussions that we're having.
She's like, if you take 10% of $1 million business, that starts to add up over time versus trying to get these little bits and pieces of people who are doing a little bit. She's like, you should think about that. So those are just different conversations that we have. But it's all about timing and kind of where you put your pieces.
That's fire. Y'all thinking big. Y'all thinking big. I like that. So one of the things I wanted to get into with y'all as well, y'all got Miss Ilani here, y'all baby. How are y'all building wealth for y'all daughter?
Yeah. So the first thing we did was before she was born, we had a bank account for her.
Yeah. So that was a discussion too. Before she was born, I'm like, well, we need to just have this money here. He's like, for what? I said, I don't know.
No kid, no nothing. We just had a baby account.
We just had a baby account and it was growing.
Baby Hartzog.
Yeah. And then when we knew
before
that we
pregnant.
Were. Yeah.
Before she was
then
pregnant.
Then when we knew we were pregnant, we were like, okay, let's just put more money into it. But then since she's been born, we've opened a 529, a custodial account, and life insurance for her. So those are like the ways that for her specifically, but of course we have life insurances, we have businesses, we finally finished our trust and all that information. So if anything was to happen, she would be set essentially. So those are the ways that we are building wealth. So we knew we wanted to have a kid. So from before we just were putting money into a sub account.
I love it. Black trust fund babies.
Yes.
I've been having, that was a burning desire of mine, man. Cause like,
you could have just tagged in on that question.
Come on, man. Rich baby. Like, come on, man. Like, we need more of that though, really. Mm-hmm. Like, honestly, cause it's a conversation that people have been having online for a long time now. Mm-hmm. Like, trust and wills and all these things. It's like, to see it getting done in real time is inspirational. And it's like, hey, you can do this. Like, it's not just talk on the internet. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You can actually start a trust for your baby. And whenever you see you got life insurance for her, I never even thought about getting life insurance for a baby. Like, you talking like whole life?
So there's a few.
Can you buy whole life for a baby?
So I want to go back before we get there. So the trust was not as easy as I thought it was. Uh-huh. Number one, it takes a lot of work.
Well, it depends on what you have, right? Yeah, it depends. If you don't have, because we have multiple businesses, multiple properties, and so that takes a lot to change all that over.
It is a lot of work. So number one, yeah. And so number two, we have life insurance for her because one of the reasons is that it could build money into the life insurance policy. Mm-hmm. So we're putting money into it every single month. And by the time she's 18, she'll have a couple hundred thousand in that policy. Mm-hmm. And if she decides that she wants to take the money out and invest it, she can. Yeah. The 529 was also very important too, because people are like, oh, what happens if they don't go to college? Right now, we know kids probably won't be going to college in the future. It's like, they'll have the option, but we want to give you the option too. And then
some people don't know this, you can transfer the 529 to a different kid. Like, if this kid decides not to go, you have another one. Mm-hmm. Somebody in this household going to college. Okay?
And you can do it for like a relative kid too, right?
You can do 529s for like, 2 through 12 expenses as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So there's private school. Depending on, yeah. There's
and so there's many other ways you can educational use routes too, that mm-hmm. if she wants to use that. And then we got the brokerage account as well, just as another means, just to diversify. She wants to borrow against that when she's 18 or whatever she decides to do. It's very important. And our trust is set up so that she gets the ability to access her funds at 25, 30 and 35.
I think so,
yeah. We feel like at between 25, you might be still out here. Mm-hmm. 30, you're probably a little bit more established in life. At 35, you know what you want to do in life. Mm-hmm. So we gave her different amounts, different. We gave her 33% at each stage of her life to decide mm-hmm. what she wants to do.
Hey man, that's dope, dog.
Yeah.
That Allen Iverson plan. Don't give it to all
of them. You can't. 2025.
Like, I mean, I don't know how LeBron did it, because he was how old getting millions of dollars? Like, I don't know.
He spent some of it wrong. But
no, but you still never heard his name bad in the press. Right. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
I don't know what Alani going to be doing at 18. He's like, listen, 25, you starting to get things together. 30, you're kind of solid at that point. 35, you should be good mm-hmm. with the rest. So
we want black trust fund babies, but we don't need no Paris Hiltons.
Yo, yeah, exactly.
I love it. I kind of want to ask, y'all go from negative mm-hmm. $114,000 in mm-hmm. debt. Mm-hmm. What's today's net worth?
That's a good question.
The market is crazy right now. So I stopped checking. I only check when it's
I understand, my dog. Trust me, I do.
I used to be one of those that checked a lot.
Initiate my buys. I just initiate my buys.
Listen.
You should check all the time.
Listen, when you what you track grows, what you follow grows. But I stopped checking. And I check probably every quarter. Last time I checked, it was like 1.1 million. And where it is right now, I don't know, because I haven't checked. But that was a couple months ago. It's probably 3 months ago, maybe.
Ain't nothing wrong with that, brother. Because again, the money that's down right now, if it's in the stock market, it's gonna come back. We already know.
It ain't nowhere else.
I did see something super interesting mm-hmm. though, from Michael Burry earlier today. He was talking about, he kind of compared the NASDAQ mm-hmm. to 2000, right? So from, I think it was like 98 to 2000, the NASDAQ ran up crazy, and then it fell, and it took 15 years to recover.
Mm.
We're going to get into this on the next episode, okay. too, because mm-hmm. it's very similar, the 2 years of the past pandemic. Years from 2020 okay. to 2022, the run-up is similar. So I'm like, I wonder if we're into something like that, because I've heard 15
years, Chad.
I've heard of this concept of the lost decade that mm-hmm. a lot of, you know, fear monger YouTube type people pushing. But at the end of the day, even if it's that, we're gonna be alive in 10 years. Mm-hmm. As long as you own the assets, mm-hmm. It doesn't matter.
It'll bounce back eventually.
You're gonna continue to accumulate, and then whenever it does shake back, now you're in an even better position.
That's yeah, as long as you're not selling, man. We got no plans to sell anything we got. So mm-hmm. even with our properties, like we talked about in businesses losing money. Like our first property, we realized we didn't make no money that first year. We lost $7,000,
$8,000. Mm-hmm. On taxes or in pocket?
This was
pocket.
This
we
was
made
in pocket.
It and then lost it.
Taxes, that's going to be under the rug. But
when the tenant moved out.
Yeah, when the tenant moved out, they trashed the property. And we had to put that money right back. And we were cash flowing pretty good, but that money went right back into mm-hmm. renovating that property. And we was like, that's the nature of the business, because the goal is not to make the money today. It's to make money 5-10 years from now. You know, so we'll be there when things start to kick back mm-hmm. up in 15 years. Hopefully not 15, yeah. but...
we don't know, but we're going to keep pushing.
Yeah, that's the goal. Keep pushing, man.
Yeah, I love it. So, Anthony and Janoka, I'm thankful again that y'all came and joined us on the podcast. To get into the last few closing questions, I want to ask you both, what is a personal finance tip or principle that you both live by that you'd like to share with our audience?
Mm. I gotta think on that one. You got one yet already?
No, I usually have something ready to go like that. So a personal finance tip that I say live by is just knowing your numbers, whether that's how much you make and how much you spend in, whether that's your budget, whether that's your debt. Because I think I said this a few times, but what you focus on grows. So I would say knowing your numbers, whatever that may be for you, would be extremely important.
You stole mine. Budgeting is mine.
You can say budgeting, go ahead. Knowing your numbers.
Financial
teamwork make the dream work. Let's get
it. Yeah. I would say budgeting was a game changer for us. Letting your money, like knowing where your money is going is the way we operated was like, well, we paying all our bills, so we know what's happening, right? But not really. Once you sat down and put every dollar towards something, we're like, we have extra $600 this month. What are we doing with that? You know, that can go towards that. So I say budgeting is a game changer. If you're not doing it, and you need to budget for everything. I think that's the other thing. People think you just budget for like bills, but we were budgeting for brunches, Ubers. That's in our budget too. So I think that's something that people miss. Make sure you're budgeting for everything you plan to do.
Yeah, fun money.
Because I mean, unless you want to live that life, but we still want to have fun. So we had to budget it in. Maybe it wasn't the amount we usually would do, but it still was there. So, yeah.
I love it. So I kind of want to get my two questions. It was going
to
be three.
But hey, man, sorry. I had to snipe you down.
So my first question is, are you frugal or are you a flexer?
A combo, I would say. No, I'm not frugal. Nobody's frugal. Sorry, no, we're not frugal. I wouldn't say a flexer, though. That's like extreme for me. So, that word is extreme.
Why would you say you're not frugal?
Because we're not frugal. I don't know. I don't know how to.
Like, do you think it's a, like, does it sound like frugal is not a positive connotation for you?
I don't think frugal.
A spendthrift, you know?
I don't think frugal is a bad word, but most of the time when I think of frugal, I think of somebody being cheap.
I would say we're conscious of our spending, probably more than frugal.
Yeah. We're aware of how much we're spending. Like, all right, how much does that cost? I'm not just going blowing bags at stores either. I'm going to be planning it out and things like that.
We're a good mixture between both.
Yeah.
Because I can't say we're frugal because I'm wearing a Rolex, but it was very
that's
well.
That's an investment, Anthony.
Yeah. But it was very well planned. And we said when we, you know, it was like when we make $100,000 in a month, I was like, I'm going to go get the Walmart watch. And I was like, well, nah, I don't want to. I'm not ready to do that. And then we hit a million. She's like, all right, you're going to keep pushing this goalpost back. So I think we're very conscious of our spending. So we do spend
when we want.
Like, we're going to Paris and she's already lined up which bag she's going to get. Yeah. I'm like, that could go into an asset, you know? But I think we're a good mixture of both, honestly.
That's crazy because some of those bags are assets too. Ashley Ann was telling, like, just like the Rolex. Uh-huh. Ashley Ann was like, yo, some of these Birkins, you can resell them for.
Yeah. Chanel, these things are timeless.
Yeah.
These things are timeless. They don't, that's like my bracelet. I have a Cartier Love bracelet. It's the same type of thing where, like a Rolex, over time, it's always going to be this, and you can always sell it for more.
That's crazy.
That's what I've
been saying. So a mixture of both, I would
say. But the thing with us is that he's like, whatever we buy, he's like, that's not an asset. I'm like, whatever I buy, I don't need it to be an asset. I just want it. If I want it, that's okay.
That's how our battle goes. Differs, yeah.
Because he's like, that's not bringing in any income. I'm like, and?
Everything can't bring in money.
Everything can't bring in money. I work for this. That's okay.
So my last question is, do you have life insurance? Which I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Yes, we do. We've always had life insurance. I've had it. Like, my mother took it out for me when I was younger. Then we had it through our jobs. But then I think the past 2 years we got the right amount, I should say, because our jobs give like $100,000, not much. Mm-hmm. But when we were speaking with our financial advisors and they're like, you're making too much money. $100,000 would not sustain if either one of you died. So,
yo, funeral is like $30,000.
Yeah, that's crazy.
My best friend passed and I was working with his mom because she's an immigrant, like with the life insurance and the job. So I'm like, that's a lot of
and
work.
And that doesn't kick until after. So I didn't know. The whole thing.
It's a process to get that money out.
You're talking about like the life insurance, like the actual
benefits? To pay for the actual funeral. Like, you gotta have that show money. You show like the. Where certificate of death? Yeah, you should show the certificate of death. You show that you have insurance, but the payment doesn't kick into like after all that.
Is there like a transactional loan? Yeah, almost, it is. Like,
yeah.
At that point, you gotta pay for it. And they kind of pay you back.
Show the funeral home that you have the insurance, so they're like,
and
okay,
they kind of loan you the money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there's a lot that goes into those policies, man, especially through your job. So,
So yeah, we do have life insurance.
Everybody should.
Yeah. Thank y'all for expounding upon that. So please let the people know, where can they follow y'all, keep up with y'all, if they want to get the course, anything like that.
You do your commercial.
So mm-hmm. you guys could find us. You guys could follow us on
the Hard Zock. You do your commercial of the cleaning business. I'll handle that part.
So if you guys want to start and scale a 6 or 7 figure cleaning business, you could check out cleaningbusinessuniversity.com. Cleaningbusinessuniversity.com is the A to Z curriculum on how you can start and scale a 6 or 7 figure cleaning business without cleaning any houses. And the link will be below in the show notes somewhere.
And you can find us at the Heart Shimoni across TikTok, YouTube, Instagram. Not Twitter, though. And that's the Hartrimony, the HARTRIMONY, which is a play on our last name in the matrimony. It was our wedding hashtag, and it's become our brand. And then we also have the Hartzog Hustle podcast that we've started and we've been doing. Woo-hoo. We are closing in on a year. Come through and listen to us. We talk about everything from business to relationship to being new parents to all of the above. So those are the places that you can find us.
I love it. For all the people, Anthony, I've got to ask you, man, for Cleaning Business University, can we get a little slash BWR behind that joint for everybody special? You know,
we got
show them a little love on the BWR. So I ain't gonna ask you. Hey, look, we just talked about prices. I ain't gonna ask the man to get y'all it for like $100.
We can't do that.
That's disrespectful. But he can show y'all a little love.
I may give you off $100, but I can't give it.
If you guys sat here and watched or listened to us this entire some odd time, we're gonna make sure we bless the audience members. We're gonna make sure we give y'all some sort of something off the top, and we will make sure they have a special link as well.
Yeah, that's love.
Appreciate that.
That's love.
I gotta ask the okay from the wife, but we're gonna make sure we bless y'all with something.
I'm okay with that. Thank y'all. I get the green light on that.
I love it. So again, Anthony and Janika, thank y'all so much for joining us. Before we get out of here, guys, we're gonna hop into a couple house cleaning items. As always, y'all, please make sure y'all rate, like, comment, subscribe, leave that 5-star rating and review. Is my brother throwing up 10 fingers over there showing? We need it all, man. Hit it twice for if you like something. If you got some value out of this episode, definitely make sure you share it with somebody. I've definitely enjoyed this. This was a good time.
It was a great refresher, great catching up with y'all guys.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Learning more about the journey. Again, Jalen mentioned it at the beginning, looking to get a studio. So y'all make sure y'all pitch in, chip in, whatever y'all got. We also got different products and things for sale. I know we mentioned their course. If you click the link in the show notes, there are different things that you can purchase from BWR. You can learn improving your credit. What else we got?
The budgeting spreadsheet, help you track your finances. We also have the book, Manage Your Money Like the 1%. Once again, that goes into debt, that goes into how to pay off your credit, that goes into your risk tolerance with assets, and it introduces you into different asset classes as well. I also want to highlight the Black Men Summit.
Got to.
This is for all the fellas out there. Make sure you buy your tickets to the Black Men Summit. This is going to be something that we are doing to impact the community, something to uplift the brothers, something to give our head of households a direction to change the narrative in our community. So make sure you buy your tickets. This is going to be a 3-day event. Friday, we're having a mixer / informational. We're partnering with the Baddie Brunch. So I know we said
Black Men Summit, in the building.
So we are going to have ladies in the building where y'all can come out, y'all can meet the women, and y'all can network with the brothers that are going to be at the summit the Saturday. The summit is from 9 to 5. We're going to have some great speakers. We have panels on wealth building, legacy, health, and we also have one on wealth. So make sure y'all get all of that information.
I think you said wealth twice, brother.
Did I say it?
Community,
I'm sorry. Health, wealth, community, and legacy. So yes, those are going to be the four panels. And then that third day, we're doing something at Texas Live for the Dallas versus Detroit Lions football game. You'll get some special VIP tickets to be in that atmosphere. And then later that evening, we're going on a boat tour to cap off the weekend. So y'all make sure y'all get those tickets.
Link in the show notes, man. Black Men Summit going to be something special. Mm-hmm. Brothers, if you building and you not bullshitting, I need to see you in the building.
And even if you is bullshitting and you want to start building, I need you there as well.
Just show up.
For sure. Well, on that note, y'all, this is Black Wealth Renaissance signing out. Peace.
Hey there. Ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah. Or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.